Tim was standing behind me back here, and I thought he was coming up to say something, so but he fooled me. I want to thank David for his prayer, talking about the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. And Mark, seeing that last hymn, how beautiful heaven must be. And you know, who of us doesn't want to go to heaven? You know, you can talk to people all over the world, or all over our, most of us haven't been all over the world, but we have been all over our little area of the world. How many people do you talk to that you think that if you ask them if they'd like to go to heaven, would say, nah, I don't think so. I believe I'll just go to hell. I don't believe you can find anyone, do you? Now, their actions may say that, but their words wouldn't. Just like asking people if they believe that Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. And I don't care who you talk to usually, and especially through this area, and their response, well, sure, I believe in Jesus Christ. But the clinching result is, if we truly believe in Christ, what do? We correctly respond to His request to serve Him, to walk after Him. Tim was good enough to bring this chart and leave it up here. What should I do? What shall I do? What must I do to be saved? Now, I'm not going to preach from the chart because Tim has his pointer here. Had his pointer there. But naturally, as you know, if I was trying to preach from that, I would be pointing at the wrong verses anyway. I would like to talk to you, and I would like to ask you while I'm up here speaking, if any of the things we have that we talk about, I encourage you to write these verses down, this scripture down, in your own leisure, at home or whenever, and study these scriptures. Some close 50 years ago, I struggled with them because God wasn't offering salvation to me in the method I thought He ought to. So I struggled with it. He was telling me very clearly through the Word, but I just could not take it. And it took me for a while. But studying these passages eventually helped me to understand the truth of the gospel, which is, I do not have to depend on how I feel about God's Word as far as do I understand it and all this. Do I know exactly how it works? But the important thing, do I believe what He said will happen like He's promised? And if I can actually believe Jesus that far, I can obey Him and be a child of God. I have to learn as I go along, as everybody does. We become babes in Christ when we first obey the gospel of Christ. And it takes time to develop. As we've said many times before, who would think they could take their newborn baby home and feed him a T-bone steak? It just wouldn't work, would it? What do they have to have? Warm, nourishing milk till their system can absorb stronger meat. Now, last night, Tim brought out five different topics about the difference between God's righteous people and the world, such as crossing the Red Sea for Israel, Moses' efforts to helping the people, Noah and the ark. What was the difference? Obedience Noah had to God's will. And it was only eight souls saved because of that obedience. The rest of the world was destroyed. But tonight, we're going to talk about, and he mentioned Naaman, and how that Naaman, Elisha, the prophet, dealt with him on his dreaded disease. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit, but not a great deal. Now remember, Naaman was a number of things. He's a captain of the host of the army of Syria. Very important man. And he was a great man before the eyes of the king of Syria. Now that takes a lot. He was also an honorable man, the Bible says. And by him, the Lord had given what to Syria? If you can remember, deliverance to Syria. Now, sometimes we ask ourselves, well, why would the Lord give deliverance to a heathen nation like that over his own children? And you know the answer. His children needed a lesson. Sin was in the camp, as we often say. Israel was sinful and wicked. And God allowed them to be taken over by the Syrian army. What happens? A little maid. In verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies. And this is in 2 Kings chapter 5, like Tim mentioned last night, just verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. Now, first of all, in order for this little maid to bring this message to Naaman, what did she have to have? She had to have faith that the prophet could do it, didn't she? And her words were, and she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. She had no doubt about that. Now listen, if she had made this statement and he had gone to the prophet, and he was not recovered of his leprosy, what do you suppose would have happened to this little maiden? She had sent him on a wild goose chase. And she probably would have had the answer for that. They didn't treat slaves very kindly. They weren't like our people we hire to do work for us. They weren't hired, they were commanded. And they weren't paid other than what they had to survive. But she did. The letter went forth. The king of Syria sent letters to the king of Israel. The king of Israel says, what is he doing? He is just wanting a quarrel with me. Who am I, God, that I can make alive, and can take life and make alive, make them alive again? And when Elisha heard of this, what did he say? The king ripped his garments and showed great remorse. He said, don't do that. Send him to me. And why did he say, send him to me? In verse 8, he says, send him to me. Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Naturally, he goes, he takes his chariots and his horses and his entourage with him. He takes gold and silver. He takes his clothing, his garments. At this time, garments, now I know sometimes some of our clothes can be very expensive. But in this time in history, the garments this man brought was very well. None of us most probably will ever be able to have a garment that would compare to what this rich man has brought to Elisha. And I don't know if it was he thought in repayment for this, most probably so. or if he was thinking, if he can just get this leprosy from me, you know, I would be glad to give him anything. Now think about what he was. A wealthy man, a great man, but he was, in verse 1 it says, the very last part, but he was a leper. Have you ever seen pictures of leprosy? It's a horrendous looking disease. And at this time in history, there was no cure for leprosy. If you was identified as having leprosy, it was like a death sentence. Oftentimes in Israel, they were camps that the lepers had to stay in till they died, so there would be no communication with the clean people, the ones who didn't have leprosy, because it was so highly contagious. And if they was anywhere close to the public, do you remember what they had to do? They had to scream out, you know, unclean, unclean. In other words, I'm a leper. Stay back. Don't come close to me. The closest thing we can compare to that is COVID-19. About a year ago or more, 18 months ago, when it was so fearful and people were so distant and all, that was a drop in the bucket to leprosy. So is it any wonder why he would want to bring all this to offer to this prophet if he could heal him, could cure him? Verse 9, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha knows why he's there. God knows why he's there. Naaman knows why he's there. His forces with him knows why he's there. In verse 10, and Elisha sent a messenger. I want you to notice this now. When it comes from God to mankind, this is the message we have. There is no other message. At this point in time, God would deliberately speak to a prophet, and that prophet would deliver it to men. Now, God is speaking individually to each and every one of us if we will open His book and read His instructions. We don't need a prophet. We have His Word in black and white. So, Elisha sends this little messenger out. You know why? Elisha didn't have to go out there. It was God's Word, and that little messenger was quite capable of repeating God's Word. Don't any of you feel that you're incapable of spreading God's Word to other people? How many times have you felt like you was, well, I'm just not good enough. You're not? Who said you wasn't? You know who said you wasn't? You. And when you said you wasn't, you know what? You wasn't prepared. You wasn't ready. You didn't have to have faith in you. Have faith in God. Have faith in our Lord that He has provided you with all you need to spread the gospel to those around us. That little messenger, that little servant didn't hesitate. He went out and told him exactly what Elisha, by God, had sent for him to do. And he said, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to you, and thou shalt be clean. Did anybody misunderstand that? I don't think you could. Do you? I think it was pretty simple, wasn't it? Naaman's respond, but Naaman was wroth. Well, now, that's like going to the doctor with a dreaded illness. You're suffering, you're pain, you're hurting, and the doctor says, I know exactly what you got. Take these pills. This will cure it. By tomorrow, you won't know it's there. And you throw those pills down and stomp out and say, what does he mean doing that, giving me a pill for something that I... You wouldn't do that at all, would you? You'd grab those pills and be glad to have them and start taking them. But Naaman, when he hears this, he was wroth and went away and said, behold, and his whole problem is in the next two words. I thought. What does Jeremiah 10:23 say? Do you remember? It says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in him. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. So therefore, I thought don't much count, does it, when it comes to God's plan. He said, I thought. Now this is what Naaman thought. He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his Lord, of the Lord, his God, and strike his hands over the places and recover my leprosy. He wanted some miraculous, great occurrence that he had built in his mind prior to going there that was going to take place. Naaman had already figured out what God's supposed to do. Now, when it comes to the plan of salvation, worship, the name of the Lord's church, how we are to conduct ourselves in our daily lives, is it correct to think, well, I thought, or simply listen to what God had to say about it, which is the most effective for mankind? Jeremiah 10:23. It's not in us to direct how we should go. But we do, don't we? Just like Naaman. And we think, well, it was simple. He should have known. And just as I said about my dad and my brothers one time, one of my brothers said, well, if I was the other brother, I'd tell you exactly what I'd do. And my dad said, now, wait a minute. If you was him, you'd be doing exactly what he's doing. So if we say, well, if I was Naaman, I'll tell you right now, you know what? You'd be stomping out angry just like Naaman. And we have to be careful that we're not that way in our life today with God's plan. He expected something great. And he also thought of the method by which this should come to pass. Dipping in that muddy Jordan for seven times. How about Abana and Pharpar, the rivers in Damascus? They are much better than any water in Israel. Now, maybe they were. Maybe they were crystal clear, cold waters, drinking waters. Could have been. I don't know. Jordan, I know at this time, was, as Tim brought out last night, probably a muddy river. And have you ever seen us after a flash flood, the river down there? You don't want to drink out of it, do you? You don't want to get in it. Naaman felt that way. And he was thinking, why can't I pervert what God said here? I don't have to get in that old dirty water. Why can't I go down there at my home and get in that water? You know why? God didn't say to go there. He said to go to Jordan. But he had a good servant that brought it to his attention and asked him, saying, you know, well, now wait, if he asked you to do some great thing, would you hesitate doing it? And Naaman was smart enough, even with his rebellious attitude, he was smart enough to reconsider and obey the Lord. And his flesh came back to him clean as a small child. Can you imagine as he come up out of that water and those that were with him and could see what God had done? Now think about it. God's promise of this did not depend on Naaman's feelings about it, did it? Did Naaman have questions as he walked down into Jordan River? Most probably did. He was probably a little bit, well, we'll see. But he went anyway. How do you reckon he felt when he come out of Jordan River?